From the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we celebrate a feast, which is the whole point of human life. We're made for God. We're made for heaven. We're made for eternity. We're made for His kingdom of love. Jesus came down from heaven to show us, as the saints say, the way to heaven where he awaits us. Today we celebrate all those who follow Jesus all the way. The great and famous saints we know about, the countless quiet saints, probably many of those who passed on to us the faith, who died in the love of the Lord, now live in his love. These are the multitude of those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, as we heard in today's first reading, and brought those white baptismal garments, unstained, into the everlasting life of heaven, like they're instructed to do on the day of their baptism. These are the great multitude that no one could count from every nation, who have not just been called children of God through baptism, as St. John tells us in today's second reading, but have lived as children of God throughout their lives, seeking to make themselves pure as God is pure, as holy as God is holy, as perfected as God is perfect. These are the ones who, as we prayed in the song, have longed to see God's face, whose hands were sinless, whose hearts were pure, whose desires were not for vain things, but for the things of God. These are the ones who have ascended the mountain of the Lord, the eternal Jerusalem, those who stand in his holy place. These are the ones who are singing today in that holy place, the beautiful endless song glimpsed in the passage from Revelation. Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God. Yes, heaven is always and exclusively a gift of God beyond anything that we can merit. 24 years ago today, in a homily to the First Sisters of Life, Cardinal O'Connor stressed that we can't make ourselves holy. And he compared the process of sanctification to what he had observed happen to the Sistine Chapel when the centuries of corrosion, grime, candle soot, and leaks that had deteriorated Michelangelo's fresco had finally been cleansed to reveal a tremendous, colorful, dazzling, luminous freshness. A similar process happens in us, he proclaimed, and it happened through his mercy. Listen to the words of your spiritual father. All the power of Christ, who was ripped to shreds on the cross, just pours into our souls, washes them, scrapes them, cleans them, purifies them, and does what to us? Makes us saints. That's what holiness is. That's what being a saint is. Having the power of Christ just pervade our very beings, wash our very bones, scrub our souls clean to the point of dazzling whiteness. He went on to add, holiness doesn't consist in never having sinned. Holiness consists in letting Christ redeem us. We can't make ourselves holy. All that we can do is open ourselves up to Christ to let Him scrub us clean, to let Him make us bright and shining. Significantly, we prayed in today's opening collect, Almighty ever-living God, by whose gift we venerate in one celebration the merit of all the saints, bestow on us, we pray, through the prayer of so many intercessors, what? We prayed for an abundance of the reconciliation with you, for which we earnestly long. What we celebrate today is that the Lord longs for that total reconciliation with us, more than all of us combined throughout the entire world who have ever lived long for it from Him. But as much as heaven and holiness are God's gift that we cannot earn, God, out of love, has made heaven the result of our choice, the result of our acting on that longing, that deep hunger, that desire, that thirst to see His face. To get to heaven, as St. Thomas Aquinas said, we need to will it. We need to desire it. We need to choose it. All who get to heaven choose it. And all our choices here on earth are forks leading toward or away from God, in which we set our feet on or away from the path to heaven, to God, to eternity. It's a choice between true lasting happiness and momentary pleasure, a choice between light and darkness, a choice between good and evil, a choice ultimately between life and death. Jesus came down to show us the way to choose well, to help and strengthen us to choose well. But there are competing voices that tell us to choose against what God wants. And those voices can echo even within convents and rectories and churches. The saints are those who have chosen well. They are the multitude of men and women just like us from every nation and language who have responded to God's grace and made it. Today we recall their example and call upon their intercession so that we might follow that good example. Today's gospel, Jesus gathers us around Him and presents to us anew the way to heaven, the way to happiness, the way to holiness. The path that He shows stands in stark contrast to the path that the majority of people in the world believe will make us happy. Jesus' words present us with the choice on which our lives hinge. Let's listen to Him as if we were listening to Him for the first time. The world tells us in order to be happy, we have to be rich. Jesus says rather, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. The world tells us that we're happy when we don't have a concern in the world. Jesus, on the other hand, says, blessed are those who are so concerned with others that they mourn over their own and others' miseries, over their sufferings, over their pains, over their sorrows, for they will be comforted by Him eternally. Worldly know-it-alls say, you have to be strong and powerful to be happy. Jesus, in contrast, retorts, blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. The spiritually worldly shout increasingly more each day, to be happy, you've got to have all your sexual fantasies fulfilled. And our culture promotes people like Hugh Hefner and sexy Hollywood vixens as those who have it all. Jesus says, however, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. The world preaches you'll be happy when you accept yourself and espouses an I'm okay, you're okay brand of moral relativism. Jesus says, though, blessed are you when you are starving for holiness. for grace and justification, for it's they who will be filled. The world says you're happy when you don't start a fight but finish it. And people from professional wrestlers to boxers to generals to armchair or backseat presidents shout, no mercy, get them, teach them a lesson they'll never forget. But Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called God's sons and daughters. Our culture increasingly says, you're happy when everyone considers you nice, when you don't have an enemy in the world, when you don't live in a way that could possibly make anybody envious and try to tear you down. Jesus says, rather, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of holiness, who seek holiness in such a way that they'll be persecuted for it. Blessed are you when people revile you, persecute you, and calumniate you with every possible calumny on my account. For your reward in heaven won't just be average. Your reward in heaven will be stupendously great. Blessed are you, the Lord Jesus summarizes, you who are poor in spirit, gentle and merciful, you who mourn, who care for what is right, who are pure in heart, who make peace, who are persecuted. Blessed are you. Jesus exalts those whom the world generally regards as weak. He basically says to us, blessed are you when everybody thinks you're losers. Blessed are you when everybody thinks you're tossing your life away, when even members of your family might raise that suggestion. Blessed are you because you are the real winners. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you. Jesus' words present a constant challenge that demands a deep and abiding conversion in us. Because so many, including so many Catholics, including so many priests, including so many religious, don't really strive to live this way. We wish to live this way, but we don't really correspond to His graces, to resolve to live this way. We don't make the choices that will lead us along this path of eternal blessedness, because that way is too narrow, too steep, too bloody. All Saints' Day is an occasion for us to recognize the two voices competing for our hearts, the voice of so many blind guides, and the voice of the Good Shepherd saying, take my hand, don't worry, we're going through this dark valley together, and you're going to rejoice forever with me in those eternal verdant pastures. Consecrated men and women are so crucial in helping the whole world to live, how to learn how to follow Christ along the path of the Beatitudes to eternal happiness. During this year of consecrated life, the first in the history of the Church, it's key for those who are consecrated and for the entire Church to ponder this connection between consecration and holiness. In St. John Paul II's great apostolic exhortation, Vita Consecrata, he wrote, a particular duty of the consecrated life is to remind all the baptized of the fundamental values of the gospel by bearing splendid and striking testimony that the world cannot be transfigured and offered to God without the spirit of the Beatitudes. The consecrated life, by its very existence in the Church, seeks to serve the consecration of the lives of all the faithful, the clergy and laity alike. They reproduce in themselves as far as possible that form of life that Jesus, the Son of God, accepted in entering into this world. Christ, as we know, not only proclaimed the Beatitudes, but lived them, He enfleshed them. And in a special way, consecrated men and women are supposed to reproduce in themselves Christ's blessed life. Consecrated men and women are the paradoxical and surpassing signs, icons of what Christ wants to give everyone. Through your spiritual poverty for the sake of the gospel, you reveal to the whole world the pearl of great price of the kingdom of heaven. Through your evangelical chastity and purity of heart, you show the world how to see God in others and reverence God in others and never take advantage of them. Through your holy obedience, you show the real strength of meekness. Through the power of Christ's reconciliation that you receive and then try to pay forward, through becoming icons of the Lord's mercy, ambassadors appealing to the whole world to be reconciled to God, you show that you're true children of God, that you seek to follow the eternal Son of God, the Prince of Peace, in becoming peacemakers. Through your mourning over the lack of peace in souls, in families, in communities, in the church, in the world, you bring people to the one who can put them back together. Through your longing to see God's face, through your desire for the kingdom of heaven, through your palpable hunger and thirst for holiness, and through your showing that you recognize it's worth it to suffer everything, including persecution and martyrdom, out of love for the one who has suffered everything for you, and shown how no suffering at all can separate us from his love, you give the world precisely what it needs to see in order to be able to embrace their own sufferings, not as things that separate them from holiness, happiness, and heaven, but particularly as bridges that take us there in a shortcut. The consecrated life is all geared toward this holiness. It's meant to open us up to the power of Christ in his sanctity, radiating through a man and a woman who says fiat not just once, but continuously. Pope Benedict noted that when Jesus prayed to God God the Father during the Last Supper, saying, "Consecrate them in the truth, and I consecrate myself for them so that they may be consecrated in truth," that the word consecration can also fittingly be translated sanctification and sacrifice. Jesus sanctifies himself so that we might be sanctified in truth, the truth of his word, the truth of the real, real world that will last forever. And Jesus sacrificed himself so that we might become part of his sacrifice of love, that perfection of charity which we call holiness, and toward which the entire consecrated life is directed. Jesus, during the first Mass, into which we enter in every Mass, is praying to the Father precisely for your sanctity, so that you will be able to change the prefix sister, which brings you so much joy and fills you with so much humility, to the prefix saint. And likewise, he wants to do it with the prefix Father, with me. Jesus prays to the Father in the eternal sacrifice of the Mass that we might be sanctified. And his entire consecrated life was geared toward that, so that this day, November 1st, may be forever our feast with him and all his holy ones. But to enter into Jesus' consecration, which happens in baptism, is especially important for all those who through the evangelical council enter conspicuously into a more intimate form of that consecration and seek to make visible in the world the love of the poor, chaste, and obedient bridegroom who came so that we might all have life to the full, as the Good Shepherd gave his life to promote and defend our lives and the lives of those he sends to us to love and protect. St. John Paul II wrote in Vita Consecrata, "All are equally called to follow Christ, to discover in him the ultimate meaning of their lives, until they're able to say with the apostle, 'For to me to live is Christ.' But those who are called to the consecrated life have a special experience of the light that shines forth from the incarnate word. For the profession of the evangelical councils makes them a kind of sign and prophetic statement for the community of the brethren and for the world." Consecrated men and women do this in a special way by showing the whole world a longing for Christ's kingdom. to try to leaven earthly life with the values of the kingdom, and even more importantly, to become signposts pointing toward God, toward heaven, toward eternity. St. John Paul II wrote in Vita Consecrata, it's the duty of the consecrated life to show that the incarnate Son of God is the eschatological goal toward which all things tend, the splendor before which every other light pales, and the infinite beauty that alone can fully satisfy the human heart. In the consecrated life, then, it's not only a matter of following Christ with all one's heart, of loving him more than father and mother, more than son or daughter, but this is required of every disciple. In the consecrated life, it's a matter of living and expressing this by conforming one's whole existence to Christ in the all-encompassing commitment that foreshadows the eschatological perfection, to the extent that this is possible in time and in accordance with the different charisms. Your whole life is to show this eschatological perfection. Your whole life is to show the world a glimpse of the happiness of heaven that not even all the trillions of the world can buy, and not even the greatest thieves can rob. And so today, as we celebrate the saints who have come before us, we need to recognize what they're doing today. They're all saying to us in unison that we're called to allow Christ through his consecration to make us the saints of our own era, just as much as they allowed him to make them the saints of theirs. St. John of the Cross told young Carmelite novices, in his very powerful Degrees of Perfection, remember always that you came here for no other reason than to be a saint. Therefore, let nothing reign in your soul that doesn't lead you to sanctity. You're a sister of life for no other reason than to become a saint. And part of that sanctity means loving others the way Christ has and being willing to sacrifice yourself so that others with you might come to that same holiness. This call to conversion, this call to holiness, St. John Paul II wrote, challenges those in the consecrated life. In fact, the vocation of a consecrated person to seek first the kingdom of God is first and foremost a call to complete conversion, self-renunciation, in order to live fully for the Lord so that God may be all in all. Today, we have a tremendous need of saints for whom we must assiduously implore God. St. Jose Maria would say, every crisis that the church and the world faces is a crisis of saints. And we know what type of a crisis exists, and the only adequate response that God wants to make to that crisis is not that we just be good, not that we just be mediocre, not that we just sort of fit in. The Lord wants to respond to the crises that face the church and the world today with all of us saying a fiat that is consequential. Sanctity. Today we have a tremendous need of saints for whom we must assiduously implore God. The institutes of consecrated life through the profession of the Evangelical Council, John Paul II says, must be conscious of this special mission in today's church. And we must encourage them in that mission. The church has always seen in the profession of the Evangelical Council a special path to holiness. The very expressions used to describe it, the school of the Lord's service, the school of love and holiness, the way or state of perfection. All of these expressions indicate the effectiveness and the wealth of means that are proper to this form of evangelical life and the particular commitment made by those who embrace it. It's not by chance that there have been so many consecrated persons down through the centuries who have left behind eloquent testimonies of holiness and have undertaken particularly generous and demanding work of evangelization and service. It is not by chance. I'll never forget the most striking words I have ever heard in my life. I used to go when I worked in Washington, D.C. to the National Shrine on Saturdays and Sundays whenever I could. Certainly all day Sunday I would hide behind the door off the chapel of Our Lady Queen of Ireland that I never knew was a door. And in almost 2 years of praying there for 8 or 10 hours, I was only interrupted once by a black security guard who looked at me, dressed in a tie. I was well dressed and everything else. I obviously wasn't a bum. But I think that there was something that had happened in me that day that he didn't even bother saying a word because I was just different. I grew up so much spiritually at the National Shrine. But one Sunday there was a profession of missionaries of charity down in the crypt. And I went as Cardinal Hickey said to these missionaries of charity with regard to their rule. If you keep this rule, I promise you heaven. That's what the consecrated life is. If you keep your rule, not just extrinsically, but if you recognize that that whole rule is meant to bring you into communion with Christ who sanctifies himself for your sanctification, the church promises you heaven. Seize it. Today, as we come to enter into Jesus' consecration for our own, his sanctification for our holiness, his sacrifice for our lifelong holocaust of charity, doing this in memory of him, we ask him, the man of the Beatitudes, to make us true men and women of that same path to happiness, and through the intercession of all the saints, to give us all the grace he knows we need, so that the work of sanctification he has begun in us might be brought to fulfillment on the day of Christ Jesus, so that we, with all those we heard today, might sing out, salvation belongs to our God, seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.